Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell announced on the Senate floor today that he will step down as Republican leader this November.
One of life's most underappreciated talents is to know when it's time to move on to life's next chapter.
McConnell is the longest-serving Senate leader in history. He turned 82 just last week. NPR political correspondent Susan Davis is here to talk about his legacy and what comes next. Hey, Sue.
Hey, Ari.
Any sense of why McConnell chose this moment to announce he'd step down?
You know, it's news, but it doesn't really come as a surprise. If you recall, at the beginning of this Congress, 10 Republicans voted against Mitch McConnell continuing to serve as leader, and they have since continued to publicly criticize him and call for new leadership. He's also had health issues dating back to last spring. At times have kept him away from the Senate and raised a lot of questions about how much longer he could do this job. And now you have Donald Trump poised to be the likely nominee for the party again. And this is a presidential candidate that Mitch McConnell has been at odds with at many times in the past. McConnell said today he has many faults, but not understanding politics isn't one of them. One point of clarification, he's going to step down as leader in November after the election, but he did indicate he intends to keep serving out his term, which runs through 2026.
He became leader in 2007 and has been a towering figure in American politics since then. It's hard to sum up his legacy, but what do you think will most define his time as leader?
McConnell himself has talked about this, and he said he believes it'll be his role in shaping the courts, not just getting conservative justices on lower courts, but specifically that 2016 decision to block Merrick Garland's nomination by President Obama to the Supreme Court. That decision ultimately led to President Trump's ability to appoint three conservative justices and tilt the court towards conservatives. He has called that the single most important thing he did in office. You can draw a straight line from that decision to outcomes like the 2022 Supreme Court decision that threw out Roe v. Wade. And part of that legacy is also being someone who is seen as driving up the partisan divisions in the Senate. On the left, he's become one of the great boogeymen of American politics, not just for his approach to the courts, but also his long-running opposition to any laws that would restrict money in politics. McConnell has always sort of relished being this boogeyman on the left, and he nodded to that today.
I still have enough gas in my tank to thoroughly disappoint my critics, and I intend to do so with all the enthusiasm with which they become accustomed.
So as he acknowledges there, he is no friend to the left. But in the last few years, he's also become a target of many on the right, specifically Trump and his supporters. Tell us about that.
Sure. I mean, McConnell's not MAGA and he never will be. He personally doesn't like Donald Trump. Donald Trump clearly doesn't like him. Over the years, he and Donald Trump have found themselves on the opposite sides of many Senate primary races in which McConnell has represented sort of the establishment wing and the Trump wing of the party. Many of the Trump wing candidates have lost and cost the Senate the majority time and time again. McConnell's brand of conservatism, frankly, is also on the decline. You know, he noted today that he's someone who got married on purpose on Ronald Reagan's birthday. He defines himself by that sort of Reagan-era principles, and he loudly rejects a lot of the isolationist politics of the new right. In his speech today, he doubled down on that, saying American global leadership is essential for national security. And likely one of the big last tests for him as leader is whether Congress is going to be able to get a foreign aid package for Ukraine signed into law over objections about half of his own party.
Well, he talked about next steps a bit, saying Republicans will have to elect a new leader after November's elections. Who's likely to run to succeed him?
Most likely it's going to be someone named John, is the joke you hear about on Capitol Hill a lot. That would be John Thune of South Dakota, John Cornyn of Texas, and John Barrasso of Wyoming, all senators who are either currently serving in leadership or have in the past. If more than one of them decides to run, it could be the first time there's a competitive Senate leadership election since the early 90s, and that one was on the Democratic side. Senate leadership elections usually happen by acclamation without much of a fight, but now looking at what could be a possible 9-month campaign for leader. But so much of this is going to depend on the election outcome. Does Donald Trump win? Does Donald Trump lose? Do Senate Republicans take the majority as they're projected to do, or do they not hold on to it? And the Trump factor here is significant. Who would he support? Who would he oppose for Senate leader could also weigh heavily. It's really unusual for a presidential candidate or a president to weigh in on congressional leadership elections, but Trump has done it time and time again. And we saw just last year when the speakership was vacated, he could play a really critical role in determining who leads the party, particularly if he wins the White House.
That is NPR political correspondent Susan Davis on the exit of Mitch McConnell as the leader of Republicans in the Senate. Thanks, Sue.
You're welcome.